Now, we continue with our reading of Matthew 26, but our study very much now focuses on a very special time of prayer called a prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is a very moving lesson that we must learn well. So given the time that we have in Sunday school, we'll try and catch the main ideas behind all of this. So Matthew 26, 36 to 46, we won't read this text together, but something that you want to read on your own, right? So as we look into this time of prayer for the Lord Jesus, first, we want to look at three prayers that the Lord Jesus had to make. And the first prayer is, we call it prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane 1, right? But let's look at this part of it, where at this point of time, as we look at the disciples, Judas was no longer there with them. He had already departed, left, and he had gone to bring a detachment of troops to come and arrest the Lord Jesus, right? Then there was a group of 11. He told the disciples that he was going to pray, but he's not taking them along. So the group of them were there. And then we have a second group where the Lord Jesus singled out three disciples, Peter, James, and John. These were now the regular three. Right? We sometimes call them the inner circle of three. They were chosen out of the 12 disciples once again. The earlier time, there was earlier experience recorded in Matthew 17. They were with the Lord Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. And as the Lord was transfigured, Peter, James, and John saw the Lord Jesus in his original glory. And that is wonderful to take note of. Now, why were they chosen in this particular case here? Well, let's look at it from the standpoint of the Lord Jesus, right? The disciples all had individual strengths and weaknesses, no question about that, right? So even if we were to bring them along, what could they have done? What would they be able to do to help the Lord Jesus? Probably nothing much. And so the Lord didn't ask them. So he knew the disciples well. And so he singled out these three. Peter was always the leader, right from the start. So in a list of names, you'll find that his name was mentioned first. This, you can read about this in Matthew 10, Luke 6, and Mark 3. You can, very no question about this. Now, John was always close to the Lord Jesus, particularly close for the Lord Jesus, for whatever reason. And James was, of course, close to his own brother. They were James and John, the two brothers. They were called the Sons of Thunder. They shared a lot of very, very similar characteristics. That's why they were put together and called the Sons of Thunder. Now, as the Lord Jesus went to talk to them, he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." Now, this is found in Matthew 26, 37, 38. Now, let's take a look at this very carefully. What does scriptures say? "And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed." Now, it does not say that he was always sorrowful, always deeply distressed. He wasn't. But at this point of time, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he began. So this is important to think to know, to note, right? That he had now was a special new experience of feeling sorrowful and somehow deeply distressed. And the word distress could be translated as in a great sense of anxiety, a great sense of tension, a great sense of foreboding, as it were. We read in Psalm 116 this a very similar feeling expressed. The pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. So this was the experience of the psalmist when he came to a time in his life when he was near death. For some reason, the author describes death as being able to surround a person. So somehow there was a sense of pressure, there's a sense of enclosure, there's a sense of closeness that closeted the individual. And the Lord Jesus says to us that he felt very similar sorrow, exceedingly sorrowful. It was, it's not a sorrow that he felt all the time, but suddenly it came to him. It's almost as if it's from the outside and is pressing on him, laid hold of me. Psalm 116 verse 3 tells us. And what is the response from inside? The response from inside is, I found trouble and sorrow. That's what we're seeing. So the two features here, one, that is an external pressure. Two, that is an internal reaction. And it was trouble and sorrow. So there we read, right? So it's difficult to understand this, but when people struggle with death, sometimes these feelings are felt very, very seriously in a very real manner, and a sense of foreboding, of trouble, of pain, of sorrow, of feeling anxious. These things are not uncommon things at all. So the Lord Jesus is basically what we call assailed very, very strongly, very badly. The feelings, emotions are being set upon, are being assailed. And this was what the Lord Jesus Christ felt at this point of time. So he said to the three disciples, very personally, very candidly, he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, right? And then he said to them, now, watch with me. In other words, if you can, be with me, pray with me alongside. Now, this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. Now, how do we understand this particular problem? Sometimes we think that the Lord Jesus, well, he's the Savior, he is the Messiah, he is the Lord, he is the one who heals everybody, he tells people, be of good cheer. Was he contradicting himself? No, far from it. Was he weak? Absolutely not. But remember, even the strong are not spared from feelings like that. That's why we want to study this very carefully. And we say, this is the Garden of Gethsemane prayer one, right? Because next week we will look at two, because you need to look at the struggle that is there. Well, sometimes when people go through such feelings of foreboding, you have to ask yourself, what do we do? How do we cope when such feelings come? Some people call this dejection. Some people call this depression. Some people call a panic attack, anxiety, whatever. But what's the best approach? And the Lord Jesus knew the answer. The best approach, the best way to deal with this is to pray. And pray he must. And pray he will. So he gets three disciples and tells them, watch with me, right? So this was something that he wanted to ask them to do. Question is, could they do it? But this is important. This struggle that the Lord Jesus felt was not something that Peter, James, and John felt. Certainly not the other disciples. They couldn't enter into how he felt, what he thought, what he experienced, they just couldn't. Right? Could they feel his sorrow? Could he feel his distress? Could he feel his anxiety, his tension, his angst? Answer, no. They couldn't fathom exactly what the Lord Jesus was actually experiencing. Right? So there was no way in which, therefore, they could enter into prayer with them. They can briefly pray about the Lord Jesus for the Lord Jesus, but not in any significant depth or understanding. Right? Now, this is where praying becomes a real test. So how was the Lord prepared for this time of special praying to God the Father? Well, wonderfully, mercifully, the Lord Jesus had already mastered how to pray to God systematically, consistently, and meaningfully. This is absolutely important. So we read in Matthew 4, Luke 4, how he once spent 40 days and nights in prayer before he entered into public ministry. That's a lot of experience. Mark 1:35 tells us that the Lord Jesus maintained this habit of seeking God in prayer. This is where prayer can become meaningful only if we actually have practiced that sincerely, regularly, consistently. In Luke 6:12, we read that the Lord Jesus prayed through the whole night as he selected his apostles. Now, all those things are experiences that will stand him in good stead now that he needs to pray intensely and to pray alone. Right? Luke 6 tells us very clearly that he would withdraw himself to pray from time to time. And this was a regular practice. Right? So all these mentions of prayer would tell us that the Lord Jesus was truly a man of prayer. So when he faced these problems that were there, the wisest thing to do, the best thing they could have done was to go into the garden and seek God in prayer. Right? Now, this is absolutely important. Now, you may ask people to pray for you, but one, it does not excuse you from the need to pray significantly. It does not. Right? So this is something that we need to think about very carefully. Right? This is a personal struggle. And in a personal struggle, it must be done alone, all on your own. Would he succeed? Well, that's something we want to read further later on. Would he falter and fail? Well, this is where we go read Matthew 26, 36, 46 further. Now, before we go further, we want to ask ourselves as we conclude this lesson, right? What is our faith in God really like? Supposing we feel distress, we feel sorrow, we feel hemmed in, we feel almost claustrophobic, you feel that something bad is coming, what do you do? Well, this is important. Our faith must be there to match the occasion. Our faith must be there to battle this. Our faith will lead us to seek the Lord in prayer with all our hearts. Well, then you see the challenge again to make sure that when we are praying, when we need to pray for people, when people ask us to pray, we must not falter nor fail. The strength of our faith and our prayer life will count for something. And those things are important things for us to look at. Right? So when we look at problems and difficulties in life, so we ask ourselves, how do we face them? And the answer is straightforward. We learn to face all things with faith and with prayer. This is, in fact, what the Apostle Paul himself emphasized. Right? And take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. And Ephesians 6:18, the Apostle Paul tells the people, right, about how to pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to do, to learn how to pray. And this is where our introduction, in this first part of Matthew 26, 36 to 46 study, we learn about the place of prayer and how important that is. Well, let's read this further again next week. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his example of how when he was assailed, he managed to overcome all of these things here because of his faith, because of his strength, because of his prayer life. Lord, teach us how to cultivate our prayer life, how to cultivate our faith as well. We pray for your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus.